physical birth, your first birth, you have to be born a second time. And Nicodemus was really confused by that. But Jesus said, don't be surprised by this. I'm telling you, you have to have new life. You have to have spiritual life. Amen. And that happens because, you guys know John 3:16? You guys remember that one? I always remember it until I try to quote it. And then it all goes blank. So it's on the screen to help you. Read it out loud with me, will you? Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I know some people are like, that verse is old and it's worn out and it's overplayed. Not in my world. It's never going to get old to me that God loved the world so much that Christ died so that we could have life. And not just any life, not life for a little while, but everlasting life. Amen. Why? Because we were in darkness. Because you could go on and read it. We were condemned in our unbelief. Why? Because we love darkness rather than light. But God sent light into the world through Jesus. He is that true light. And he shined the light of the gospel that Messiah would come and die for our sins and be buried and raised again the last day, the third day, to take away the sin of the world. And he did that so that we could live. Amen. And he gave us that truth so that we could know that we have eternal life. I want to ask you a question tonight. Does God love you? I was reading a testimony of a man, and he was talking about when he was born again. He went to a youth conference years ago, and the preacher was talking about how God loves you, and God wants to have a relationship with you, and all of these things. And it was one of those moments where the light comes on, and he really began to contemplate that. But just reading that testimony made me think about that. Does God love you? I mean, each and every one of you. I mean, can you sit in your pew tonight? Can you, wherever you're watching online tonight, can you say, God loves me? Is that true? God so loved the world. God so loved the world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Amen. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. God loved us and sent Christ to die for us. And somebody would say, well, that's to the believers. He only died for the believers. He's the propitiation for us, for our sins, those who believe. But you might remember that John already cleared that up in 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. By the way, aren't you glad that God made a way to deal with believers who sin? In case you're a new believer, new to this thing called Christianity, some of you might be concerned, well, what if I sin after I'm saved? Well, you will. And God's made a way to deal with that. Because we have an advocate. We have a mediator. We have a high priest who sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's always making intercession for us. Because let's face it, we always need intercession. So he goes on in verse 2 and says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Does God love you? I mean, I just could stay camp out here for a little bit. God loves me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You understand that even though I'm a sinner, even though God knows every wicked thing I've ever done, he knows all the stuff I haven't even thought up yet, and he still loves me. He still loves you. You are loved. Can you just embrace that for a little bit? The God of glory loves you. Amen. And let's face it, friends, sometimes you're not lovable. Amen. Sometimes we're not very lovable at all. Right. Just to be honest, sometimes we're not very likable. We talk about that sometimes at our house. I know that my wife always loves me. It doesn't mean that she always likes me. What are you amening so loud for? What is wrong with you? It's a two-way street there, sister. Okay. Amen. Listen, he loves you. You know, when you're going to get married, especially if you don't court or date for very long before you get married, there's a lot you don't know about the person you're going to marry. And you learn a lot about somebody after you've lived with them for a year. Amen. Some things you never dreamed. Amen. Some things you wish you could forget. She didn't amen that at that time, though, did she? Listen, I'm just saying that you love somebody and you're committed to them, and you just learned some things about people you didn't know. But God already knew it all. And he loved you anyway. Let me ask you another question. Does God want to have a relationship with you? Amen. Does God, the creator of the universe, want to have a relationship with you? Amen. Does he want you to be his son or daughter? Does he want to call you friend? Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. He loves me. And I can't even fathom that. Not only that, he doesn't want to just save me. He wants to have a relationship with me. You understand the way I'm using relationship. He wants you to be his child. That's a relationship that can never be broken. But I'm talking about relationship as in an interaction, as in a life together. He wants that. I mean, it's not like, have you ever dropped something valuable somewhere you don't want to drop it? Some of you are just remembering the time you dropped your phone in the toilet right now. And you paid way too much for that thing to leave it there, right? So you get it out and, you know, clean it up with the Clorox wipes or whatever, but you're going to try to save that thing. There are things that sometimes are valuable, like when you drop it or lose it, like you retrieve it, but you don't just, like, love on it. You just kind of save it and put it somewhere else. But God doesn't do that with us. He brings us right up close to him so that we can cry to him, Abba, Father. Amen. Baba, Papa, Dada. I don't know the word that works best in your culture, in your world, but that's the kind of language Jesus uses, that we can come to him and we can behold his face. He says, seek my face. It's like your kid when they're very small and they crawl up in your lap and they want your attention. They grab your cheeks like this. That's what Jesus says you can do to God the Father through him. Amen. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to walk with him. We read it. John said, my little children. He says that we are his children by faith. Christ died for all so that we could become his children. Amen. Does God love you? Does God want to have a relationship with you? Did Christ die in your place to bring you into relationship with himself? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God made Christ sin, even though Christ knew no sin. committed no sin, did no sin. There was no sin in him, and yet he became sin for us. He became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus Christ died in our place. He took our sins on the tree, and that's what the prophets promised that Messiah would do, so that by his stripes we would be healed. And so I'm just trying to make you understand tonight that it's real and it's personal. It's not that just that Christ died for the world, he died for you. It's not just that he wants to have all people come to the knowledge of his will, and he wants all people to come to repentance. He wants all people to know him. He wants you personally to know him. Amen. He doesn't want just all people, all human beings to be his children. He wants you individually, personally, to be his child. Amen. He died in your place to bring you into relationship with himself. And when you start to understand the whole Bible, when you start to get the big picture, when you start to understand what the whole thing's about, is the fact that God made man for relationship with himself. He made man in his own image so that he could have a relationship with mankind, and we ruined it. Amen. And the rest of the Bible is about how God would send Christ to be the Savior of the world, to restore that relationship that was broken all the way back in the garden. And he desires that for us, and he's going to do so much to do that. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where there's no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no death. None of the things that separate us from God will be there in the new heavens and the new earth. And we'll get to have that perfect relationship with God that he designed for human beings in the beginning. And we get to have a taste of it now. Some of you are just waiting around for heaven. You're just waiting around for Jesus to come back. You're just waiting around for you to die and go there to have that time with Jesus. But you don't have to wait until then. He's made a way for us to have that relationship with him now. Amen. That's the point of the message tonight, if you haven't got it. What are you waiting for? Redeem the time. Have relationship with Jesus now. If you have not been born again, you can't have relationship with God. Relationship with God begins with a new birth. So what do? Well, you believe what we just read. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he raised again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ became sin for you, even though he knew no sin, to pay for your sin. He's your propitiation. He's your payment. He's the atonement so that you can be forgiven, so that your sins can be taken out of the way, because he nails them to his cross so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be free, so that you can move from death to life. Amen. And you can do that by faith right now. Right now. Because I want you to understand this. If you've never been born again, I know, I'm looking around the room. Not a lot of people here tonight. Most everyone here that I see has made a profession of faith. But some of you, I don't know. I don't know your heart. I don't know your faith in Jesus. But I'm telling you that if you don't trust in him, you don't have life. But if you believe on him, you have life everlasting, and you are a child of God, and if a child, then a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. The promises of Christ are yours. Yours. I said I had 2 points. One is know and be known by God. And the reason I say know and be known by God, because remember in Matthew 7, Jesus says at the judgment, there will be some who profess to have known him, and he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. See, it's not about our works, it's about our faith. And so you come to him by faith so that you're known and known, so that you know and are known by God. Number two, can I say spiritual growth follows spiritual birth? Amen. I know we've talked about this so many times, but aren't children a blessing from God? Amen. That deserves a bigger amen. Children are a blessing from God. Amen. And you may forget it somewhere along the way, but you don't forget it when they're brand new. Amen. Met a young couple the other day, first baby's on the way, and they are ready. They're so not ready. Nobody, who is? I mean, so I've heard some of you guys talk about it. Like, we weren't really ready to be married. Nobody is. We weren't really ready to have kids. Nobody is. I don't want to be gross tonight, but I'm just telling you, nothing can prepare you for those first few diapers. Ask your mom later. Your dad will tell you all about it. Nothing can prepare you for that. But they literally told me, they said, we've got some friends who just have babies, and my buddy was sending me videos. I'm like, that's not right. You just have to find out on your own. Children are a blessing. Children are a gift from God. We ought to remind ourselves of that, because we live in a world today that acts like the worst thing that could happen to you is to get married and have babies. That thinking has made its way into Christianity. It's made its way into the Lord's churches. Let God be true and every man a liar. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Children are a blessing from God. And it's a good thing to find a good wife. And it's a good thing to find a godly husband. It's a good thing to get married and have babies. It's a good thing. Some of you sitting here right now might not like that preaching, but you can argue with the scripture later if you want to. It's the truth. When you have a baby, babies tend to lose weight the first few days, but the doctors always want to monitor closely as the baby gets older. You got to go back and get checked up and make sure the baby is gaining weight, right? You check the baby, make sure baby is growing, because healthy babies grow. And healthy Christians grow. Spiritual growth should follow spiritual birth. God saved you to have a relationship with you. He gave you life so that you could live in Him and for Him and with Him. He didn't give you life so you could go do your own thing and I'll see you later. No, He wants to walk with you day by day. He wants you to have fellowship with Him, relationship with Him. He gave you life so you could live in Him. We're made to love and to be loved. Do you know that? God made us to love and to be loved. Now, He has already proved His love for us. He's already demonstrated, manifested it, made it known. The death and resurrection of Christ was not done in secret. It wasn't done in a corner. It was done. The whole world knows that Christ died and rose again. And they can deny it and they can argue all they want to, but the fact remains, Jesus is risen again. And He gives life to all who believe in Him. So we're made to be loved and we're made to love. And God has proved His love. So now we have the joy of living in loving relationship with Him. Some of you might have heard the story of the Frederick experiment, people call it, way back in the 13th century. The German King Frederick II conducted an experiment. He was trying to find out what babies' natural language is. So he took babies from their mothers and he gave them to nurses to raise them up. And the nurses had strict instructions never to speak out loud where the babies could hear them. They were also told not to touch the babies more than was absolutely necessary, because Frederick was convinced that the true human language was German. And he was convinced that if they left these babies alone, they would speak German as they got older. The tragic reality is, those babies never spake any language because they all died. It was a cruel, wicked, evil thing. Because babies need love and affection. Today there's a modern term for it. It's called failure to thrive. Because modern scientists have figured out that babies need to be loved, they need to be touched, They need to be cuddled. They need to be snuggled. They need human contact to thrive. And what's crazy about the whole thing is people today, they understand that truth, but their minds are blown by it because it doesn't fit with their atheistic, evolutionary, Darwinian worldview that says survival of the fittest. And so they know without a doubt that human beings need love. They need to love and to be loved, to thrive, to live, but they can't figure out why that is. Because they have a worldview where they're trying to keep God out of it and it doesn't work. You need to love and to be loved because God made you that way.
Amen.
And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He proved his love for us, and now we have the joy of living in that loving relationship with him. Love. Modern medicine even says this. This doctor Ornish says, love is a chief influence for mental, emotional, and even physical health. He says, anything that promotes feelings of love and intimacy is healing. Anything that promotes isolation, separation, loneliness, loss, hostility, anger, cynicism, depression, alienation, and related feelings often leads to suffering, disease, and premature death from all causes. Scientific evidence leaves little doubt that love and intimacy are powerful determinants of our health and survival. Why they have such an impact remains somewhat a mystery. Maybe to him, but not to the Word of God.
Amen.
We're made to love and to be loved. I already mentioned Romans 8:15 earlier, but he says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We have the Spirit of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We have life. So spiritual growth follows spiritual birth. And we get to do what I read earlier tonight. We get to come before his presence with thanksgiving. We get to come boldly to the throne of God. Hebrews 4:14-16. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And when do you need him? I need thee every hour. Every hour I need thee. So let me wrap it up tonight by saying this. Relationships are developed through time. Every relationship that you have in your life is either neglected or developed by the amount of time you spend in that relationship. If you want to have a thriving relationship with God, you're going to have to spend time with God.
Amen.
This time is a good time to come, but this can't be it. Sundays, when we have time together, that's a good time, but that can't be it. You must spend time with God every day. And I don't just mean checking off a box because you read your prayer list and because you read through the scriptures. I'm talking about spending time with God in communication with him. Relationships are built with time and they're built with communication. What is communication? That means you listen to him and you talk to him. It means that he speaks and you speak. He speaks and you listen. And when you pray, he'll listen. It's really prayer and Bible readings what it's come down to, but it can't just be those check boxes. We need to have real communication with God. Most of you have read your Bibles, at least partway. Some of you have read through your Bible all the way through many times. Some of you are just starting on your journey through the scriptures, and isn't it great? Isn't it great when you start reading your Bible? Man, I read my Bible and I Sometimes I'm taken back a little bit when I read the way that some of the people in Scripture talk to God. Like every once in a while, Moses just talks to God in a way I'm like, ooh. You know what I'm talking about? Like one of your siblings like gets a little lippy with mom and you're like, ooh. I mean, that's kind of the way I feel sometimes when I read Moses or when I read the Psalms even. David, sometimes the way he talks to God, I'm like, boy, you can't talk to him like that. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Like I'm a little scared for him. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but that's not good. You know what I'm amazed by? God, I don't know if any time I read that and I kind of have that reaction in myself that God gets angry with them. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were some times when God's just like, hush, boy, but that's the modern Isaac version. You know, he's kind of told Job that, right? He's like, just hush, boy. But a lot of times when Moses or David, they cry out to God in that way, what is it? They're just being real. They're being raw. They're being open. They know they can't hide what they're thinking from God, so they just say it. Can I just say that we ought to have a real relationship with God? That you can ask God hard questions? Amen. That when you're struggling with things inside or there's things you don't understand, you could just say, God, I'm struggling. God, I don't understand. And He delights. He delights for His children to be authentic with Him. I don't know what we're thinking sometimes when we pray. Like you're alone and you're praying in your most eloquent King James. Like nobody's impressed by that. God's like, just be real. Ask hard questions. Confess sin. Yeah, it's so dumb when we don't confess. Like He doesn't already know. It's almost like we're just holding back because we don't want to come to Him and be like, okay, God, I want to tell you. You may not know this, but I want to tell you. He knows. Amen. You want real relationship, there has to be honesty. Amen. Isn't that true in every relationship? Amen. Transparency. Real. Authentic. Be real about your struggles. You remember the man when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples couldn't heal his son who was demon-possessed. You remember that? It's like, I went to your disciples and they couldn't help. Nobody's been able to help. You remember he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's the kind of realness we need to have with God. Spend time with Him. Real time with Him, communicate with Him, and do it every day. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for